What's up, everybody? You're listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Dre Emerson, and welcome back to the show. If you didn't catch my last episode, I had a very special guest, Janae Nicole. She's a big comic book fan. She knows all the insights about the superheroes, the Marvel, the DC. So I had her on to talk the Loki season finale, which was amazing. It still gives me chills because we finally got to see Jonathan Majors, a.k.a. Kang the Conqueror, in the MCU, which is a whole big thing because he's going to be the next big bad following Thanos. So we had to talk about it, of course, and I had to bring her on. And hopefully, you know, we can have her on some more to talk about the new Marvel movies and shows that's going to be coming out, like Marvel's What If, which I'm going to give you my reactions for later on in this episode, so stay tuned for that. But the purpose of this one today is going to be talking the NBA biggers, winners and losers in free agency, which was a wild one. I'm recording this on Wednesday, August 12th. Thursday. This is Thursday, August 12th. Wow. The week has just gone by so fast. Like, it's been a crazy week, crazy news week. Governor Andrew Cuomo has resigned from his duties for his sexual assault cases and sexual harassment stuff that he got going on. Good riddance to him. The Bachelorette season finale came on, which was wild. Katie chose Blake.
Katie Lane Thurston. Will you marry me?
And she settled for Blake. So that was that. What else going on? Oh, of course, Dallas Cowboys Hard Knocks, which was amazing first episode. As you know, Dallas Cowboys is my team. And I'm not just saying it was an amazing episode because it was my favorite team, but it was just got to see a new side of Dak that I, you know, don't normally typically see. That he was throwing F-bombs out there like he was Samuel L. Jackson, man. It was really cool to see. A really great first episode. I recommend you guys watch that because, you know, it's America's team. Why not? But getting back to what we're talking about today, the NBA free agency winners and losers. I'm going to start off with talking about a team that's on neither list, but I felt it is necessary to talk about them because they're an important team. They're a very special team. And that is the Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers are neither winners nor losers in NBA free agency, despite what everyone is thinking. So if you've been living under a rock, Russell Westbrook was traded from the Washington Wizards to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, and I'm pretty sure some picks and stuff like that. But it was a big deal. Obviously, a player of Russell Westbrook caliber teaming up with LeBron and AD. It's a pretty big deal, but it doesn't make them winners or losers in free agency. And I'm going to tell you guys why. So they're not losers because they was losing Dennis Schroeder, but they upgraded with that, obviously. They got Russell Westbrook. Kuz is out the door, but they also picked up Melo. And they went up and picked up Dwight. And they got Wayne Ellington, Malik Monk. So they're not losers because they sort of kind of addressed their needs. I don't particularly like the team. I don't like how it's set up. With all the old guys, I'm going to be honest with you, and trading away all your, you know, young assets in Kyle Kuzma. And not going forth. Because there was a deal for Bradley Beal on the table. I mean, not Bradley Beal. But Buddy Hill that was on the table. That, in my opinion, was been a better deal for them. But they're not losers. But they're not winners either, because coming into last season, everyone had the Lakers coming out of the West. We know what happened in the playoffs. They lost to the Phoenix Suns in the first round. But we know that was primarily due to injuries to LeBron and Anthony Davis. When you have both of your two top players, your top-heavy team, and one of your top players goes down and the other one's gimpy, you know, that's kind of it for your team. You know, when you don't have a lot of, you know, great pieces around you. Dennis Schroeder, who showed how he always does in the playoffs. But needless to say, We know what happened with that. So, coming into this season, it's kind of the same thing because your only opposition was really the Clippers. Everyone looked at it as a Lakers-Clippers for the top two. You know, some people consider the Jazz. I don't. But, or the Denver Nuggets. I thought would have been a great season for them, but obviously, you know, Jamal Murray got injured at the tail end. So, what could have been with that? The Lakers were primarily already the favorites to come out of the West. So the Russell Westbrook deal doesn't does anything, at least to me, to make me say, oh, they're a big winner free agency. Now, when you take it outside the West and you compare it to the Brooklyn Nets, I don't think this team is comparable to the Brooklyn Nets because they lost some things. The Lakers lost defense when they went for Russell Westbrook. And they also lost it in free agency. Alex Caruso was a great defensive piece for the Lakers. He's gone. KCP was a great defensive piece. Now he's gone. Russell Westbrook doesn't play defense like that. You know, he's active. You know, he has his moments. But he doesn't play defense as he probably did, you know, in his early years. Carmelo definitely doesn't play defense. So, Wayne Ellington, he's kind of old. Malik Monk, he's kind of up and down. So, when I look at this team compared to the Brooklyn Nets, I don't think this Lakers team has enough to handle what the Brooklyn Nets can do to them. Because the big staple of the Lakers was defense. And you lost defense in your guards when you lost Caruso and KCP. So, that's why I can't give them winners. I can't give them losers. But getting into the list, let's go with the winners. And I already said the team, which some of you guys might find a surprise, but I got the Brooklyn Nets as a winners in free agency because they are resigning all of the big three. Pretty much all are but resigned. Reports came out that James Harden and Kyrie Irving are expected to sign their extension sometime in the near future. KD has already signed his $198 million extension. They also re-signed Blake Griffin and Bruce Brown, both who played key minutes in the playoffs. Blake Griffin has kind of played the enforcer role for the Brooklyn Nets now, so, and we see that he still got it. So retaining him was pretty big. I'm just gonna call him Brucey Bruce. He did good, so it was a good thing for them to get re-signed. But the big thing that they did was picked up Patty Mills. Now, Patty Mills is still a bucket. Patty Mills can shoot the three ball really good. I think he shot a little bit better than 40% last season. Well, this season. So picking up Patty Mills, someone who can come off the bench and light it up for you, that is going to be good for them. The rich just got richer. And if you're worried about injuries with James Harden, I saw some people started calling James Harden injury prone. James Harden's not injury prone. James Harden primarily plays all the games in the regular season. I feel like this is just a situation where he didn't come into camp healthy last season, obviously, because he was looking to be traded. He wasn't in the best shape, and hamstrings became a detriment to him that season, and it just lingered all season for him. He has the offseason to get healthy now, completely rest and be healed. So I look for James Harden to come back in great shape. Kyrie Irving, I feel like he's going to bounce back, and he had one of his most efficient seasons last season, so. And Kevin Durant has just come off winning the Olympics, you know, for Team US, Team USA, basically. So the team, the big three is in good shape. You picked up Patty Mills. You also was able to replace Uncle Jeff with James Johnson. And you kept Blake. And I'm pretty sure there's still work to be done. But getting Patty Mills and also getting these deals done with the big three makes the Brooklyn Nets a winner. Going on to my next winner. It's none other than my Chicago Bulls. Yes, sir. We literally built a playoff team through trades. That is what we did. And that is why the Chicago Bulls are winners in this situation. They was able to trade for, was it a trade and sign? Sign and trade. They did some type of deal with Lonzo Ball. So you got Lonzo Ball. You got Caruso, right, from the Lakers. So that shears up your guard rotation with them, Coby White. And you also bring defense to that position as well. The Chicago Bulls wasn't too bad on defense. They was like middle of the pack this past season. But when you add two great defensive pieces like that, that's surely going to rise up. They also went and got DeMar DeRozan. And just speaking on Lonzo, I feel like this is going to be a good season for him, because this is a team that actually want Lonzo. Like, of course, you know, the Lakers wanted him. The city of Los Angeles wanted him. Did the team really want him? Not really, because obviously they was quick to trade him for Anthony Davis. I mean, yes, it's Anthony Davis, but this is supposed to be the kid for the city and all this, but they were so quick to trade him away. So all that stuff Magic Johnson was saying, you know, have cheat, you know. So, but this team, and then when he got traded to the Pelicans, that was a team that just had to, they had to get something back for giving away Anthony Davis, obviously. But this is a team that went and got Lonzo. This is a team that's going to put confidence in Lonzo. And Lonzo has been great, getting better as a shooter. Like, I always felt like he was a decent shooter. His form was a little wonky, but he straightened out, just a little bit of straightener. That's all he needed. And now he's shooting the three ball at a high clip very effectively. And I think this should be a breakout season for him. But yeah, they went out and also got DeMar DeRozan, who was at another scoring punch to the already Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, who I feel like people forgot that the Bulls traded for at the tail end of the season. Obviously, things just didn't work out. They couldn't make the playoffs because Zach LaVine got injured. Well, he wasn't injured. He was in COVID protocol. So adding DeMar DeRozan is a big thing, because like I said, he's a scoring punch. Yes, he doesn't shoot the three ball good, but he can still go get buckets. He can still slash at the rim. And then having a player like Lonzo that sees all of that, can set players up, put players in good position. And DeMar DeRozan is also a great playmaker himself. He also had a career season under Greg Popovich, averaging a little over 6 assists. So, oh, and don't forget about my boy Patrick Williams, who's coming in, who's fresh off an amazing comeback last night in Summer League. Had like a 30-point game. He's going to be great. He's going to be great this season to shore up that the fours, the big spot, because I believe Lauri Markkanen is going to be out soon. Maybe we can get him in to do a little sign and trade for a team, bring in something for him. But the Bulls are winners in this. They all but for sure have brought together a playoff team to put around Zach LaVine, who says things are going good with the contract extension talk. So Billy Donovan better make this work. That's all I know. That is all I know. But yes, the Bulls are winners. My last winner, a very little unexpected winner, but I have to call them winners just for anyone listening that think I might be overreacting about the Bulls. I'm not saying the Bulls are going to win the championship. I think they can get to the second round, and that's all that matters. That is all that matters, because at the end of the day, the Bulls haven't been in the playoffs. We haven't been for some time. We've been teetering, struggling to make a playoff appearance, even in the play-in. That makes it easy for the bad teams to get in. What a trash thing. They need to get rid of that. But we weren't in the playoffs. So any improvement to our stature to get to the playoffs, to the second round, is a big improvement. Because you're selling tickets now. You bring in the excitement back. You're making the city more marketable for a chance to bring in another big, either free agent, or, you know, yeah. It's a good thing for Chicago Bulls, needless to say. Getting back to my last winner, it's the New York Knicks. The Knicks need it desperately, and we saw it in the playoffs scoring. And they addressed that issue. They went and got Evan Fournier from the Boston Celtics, who they traded for. And they lost him in free agency. Hint, hint. When I get to talking about my losers. They went and got Evan Fournier. They also got Kemba Walker, a should-be reliable point guard, even though we saw how he struggled with the Celtics. But Kemba should be... I expect Kemba to have a great bounce back. He has... Injuries has hampered his season last year, and it was just tough for him. And then Jaylen Brown, you know, stepping up, Marcus Smart being there. It was just kind of a tough situation for Kemba. But now he's in another fresh situation, so I expect him to bounce back. And the Knicks desperately needed some scoring. They didn't need Derrick Rose playing 36 or 40 minutes in playoff games. You know, you could clearly see by as the playoffs was going on, the games was going on, he was getting gas. And he couldn't provide that extra scoring punch that they needed off the bench. Now you got Kemba in there to start that. So now we don't have to see Elfrid Payton no more. Thank God. Players will improve. RJ Barrett. I'm hoping Julius Randle, you know, works on that right hand. Put a little some extra in his bag over the summer. But the Knicks are in a good position because just with those two players, I feel like looking back at that Hawks series, it's a completely different series now. I think that's a series that the Knicks can win. They was a top defensive team. I think they finally got the scoring punch that they needed. Especially since they lost Reggie Bullock. I think they lost Reggie Bullock. But they was able to resign some of their, you know, bigs and stuff. So, as long as, just like the Bulls, as long as they're competing, they're still in the playoffs, making their attractable city to come play for, they are winners in this situation. That is all for my winners. Now, switching to losers, I hinted at it. The Boston Celtics, I got to start off with them. How do you trade for Evan Fournier, giving away some picks, and then you lose them? You lose them in free agency. Now, they was able to scrap and heap and find something, dig, you know? And they found Dennis Schroeder, who just fumbled the bag, ladies and gentlemen. He just fumbled the bag. Had a deal for the Los Angeles Lakers for $84 million. Had to sign to the Celtics for about $5 million. Talking about fumbling the bag, but they was able to get him. And Dennis Schroeder, he's a good regular season point guard. He's not a great playoff point guard at all. You know, it looks real bad. But it was something. But it's not enough. I feel like they needed a real point guard. Like a legit point guard to distribute a ball between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and able to get them in order. Like a Chris Paul. Chris Paul would have been fantastic for this team. You know what? Ben Simmons would look amazing on the team. I know that wouldn't happen. I don't think the Celtics can afford it. But just a real point guard. Like a Kyle Lowry. Like a Goran Dragic, if he was going to be available. Like, they needed that. They got a big Al. They got a big, but he's old, man. We've seen this before. And what makes them the biggest losers in all of this, they have been in trade talks for some of the best players in the league. Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, for like all this time, they had all these picks. And what have they shown for it? Nothing. That is why the Celtics are on this list. I'm sorry. And I'm an affiliate for Gangrene because I got a lot of stock in Jason Tatum. And I don't want to see him in a situation where he's going to be demanding to leave. You know, I don't want that. I like him with the Celtics. My next team, that is the losers. And this might surprise a few of you. I know a lot of people in the media and I know a lot of guys liked the moves they made, but this team is a loser because, and let me just say them, the Miami Heat are indeed losers. They picked up Kyle Lowry, which people think is such an amazing move for the Miami Heat. Now, it's a great move, but when you really think about it, all they really did was replace Goran Dragic. they pretty much give you about the same right now, you know. Kyle Lowry probably a little bit better on defense. Probably much better, but they give you about the same. You remember when the Miami Heat went on that finals run, Goran Dragic was hooping. The Dragon, he was hooping. So the move really for Lowry doesn't really do much for me when all it really looks like he did was just made a small improvement, you know? Something big that they did was steal PJ Tucker from the Milwaukee Bucks, but that's not enough. Because when I look at this team, just looking at the team, two teams, Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks, is Jimmy Butler better than Chris Middleton? Yes, of course. Of course. Is he better than Giannis? Hell no. Going down to Bam, he's second best player. Is he better than Chris Middleton? No, I wouldn't say that. He's definitely not better than Giannis. Is he better than Drew Holiday? We saw what Drew Holiday did in the finals. I don't know. It's a question mark. And I don't think Kyle Lowry getting to the Heat's third players, I don't think he's better than Drew Holiday. So I'm not even going to go up to Middleton and Giannis. So you see the difference here? When I break it down like that, the Heat got pieces now. They got Tyler Hero, but he had a little bad season. You know, fame got to him. You know what I'm saying? He was wilding out, little wild boy. Sheen, they re-signed Sheen. Duncan Robinson. If you don't get the reference, Jimmy Neutron, come on. He looks like him, come on. But they didn't really do too much. They did get Oladipo back. They re-signed him, but is Oladipo gonna play? And still in all, they did all this. I'm saying all these great moves that it seems like they did, but I still wouldn't take them against the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm definitely not taking them against the Brooklyn Nets. So just like the Knicks and the Bulls, you just build a team to, you know, play compete. Play compete. Not compete for real. For a championship, play compete. You're going to look nice. You're going to be a good regular season team, probably a top team. But are you going to beat the elites? And I still have high stock in the Philadelphia Sixers, right? Because I feel like they were supposed to beat the Atlanta Hawks. Ben Simmons just fell apart mentally. That's all that was. And if they trade away for Ben Simmons for a la Damian Lillard, who they say they are trying to get, they not beating the Sixers. The Heat will not beat the Sixers if they get Damian Lillard. I'm here to tell you that right now. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Unless Bam turns into like a 26, 27 points per game, if he turns into the next AD, then maybe. He's a great defensive player now. He's coming along offensively, but he's not all that, guys. And Kyle Lowry, he's getting up there in age. Getting down to my last loser now. I had to think long and hard about this. And why they are losers. I say they. And I say it plural. Because I am talking about the whole Western Conference. The Western Conference is all losers. Other than the Los Angeles Lakers. How do you see the Lakers go and get Russell Westbrook? Who, yes, I said all that stuff about in the beginning. He's not in his prime no more. But he's still Russell Westbrook, Mr. Tripped Up. They still upgraded a little bit. They are still the favorites in the West. So how other teams in the West did y'all not make any big moves to compete against the Lakers? Phoenix Suns, if you think that y'all are going to make it or beat the Lakers again, you are sadly mistaken. Especially if they are healthy. Especially now that they got Russell Westbrook. You were lucky for your playoff runs. Let's be honest. In every round, a big time player from that team was gone. Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard. and you didn't do much to improve on this roster. You re-signed Chris Paul, but you didn't go get you a player like, go try to get you a player like DeMar DeRozan, who was out there, who could have been available, you know. Maybe Pascal Siakam, even though he has his troubles, he's right there in the market. You didn't do anything. Utah Jazz, they got a Rudy Gay, but come on. You couldn't beat the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. Do I expect you to do anything else? No, they didn't improve in the slightest. Just a little bit. I like Rudy Gay. Clippers, this is going to be a down year for them. Kawhi Leonard, he probably won't even play. If he does, it's going to be gimpy. You know, it's going to be late in the season, playoffs. And do we expect him to make a crazy playoff run off an ACL injury? No. So this is offseason. I'm not really counting this for the Clippers. Denver Nuggets, you get Jamal Murray back. But like I said, Lakers got Russell Westbrook now. Is it enough? Denver Nuggets, do you have enough? I don't think so. A move I would love to have seen them made. Maybe trade Michael Porter Jr. and some of your pieces, Monte Morris, and some picks. And go get Bradley Beal. Go save Bradley Beal from the Wizards, because he's in a sunken place down there. He see Russell Westbrook leave, and he's cool. He's cool with that. He still wants to stay in D.C. He is in a sunken place. You could have go saved him. Go to say Warriors. You could have go saved him. Whatever they Washington Wizards wanted, you should have gave it to them. Andrew Wiggins, your top pick, all that. You should have gave it all to the Wizards. How do you think the Warriors, do you think just because you getting Klay back? Now, granted, they had Steph Curry had an MVP season. Draymond Green finished, I think, he finished third Defensive Player of the Year votes. Those guys still got it now. But with Klay coming back, we don't know how, you know, good he's going to be. I feel like you should have did a little bit more. Especially while Steph Curry is still playing at that high of level. You should have did more in free agency to go compete against the Lakers. You know, I'm naming all these top teams in the West, and they didn't really do much. That is why they are losers. So, that is it for my NBA's winners and losers. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back to you with my what-if reactions. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the What's On Your Mind podcast. Like I said, I'm your host, Dre Emerson. You should already know that. We're talking the new Disney Plus series, the new from Marvel Studios, What If, based on the What If comics.
Time. Space. Reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prism of endless possibility, where a single choice can branch out into infinite realities, creating alternate worlds from the ones you know. I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question, what if?
Now, full disclosure, I don't know too much. I don't know too much about the What If comics. Now, Janelle, I'm pretty sure she has a vast knowledge for all this stuff. And hopefully next time we have her on the podcast, maybe I can get her reactions from this first episode. But I thought it was a great start, you know. So in this first episode, we have Peggy Carter, who is the new Captain America, or British, I don't know, whatever. But yes, she is the Captain America in this What If story. And if you don't know what the What If stories is, kind of like these, like, it's basically Marvel's playground of ideas of what could happen if such and such happened, like different realities. And it's basically our first look at the multiverse and what it's going to look like, where we're going to kind of the different wonky things that we see that we kind of saw in Loki with the alligator Loki, you know, the black Loki, you know, all those different type of things. It's all those wonky things is going to be happening in this What If series. And in this one, Peggy Carter is the one who's Steve Rogers, Captain America's love interest, if you don't know. She is the one that takes the super serum. So she becomes Captain America. And in this episode, in this, I didn't really know what to expect because I didn't really know too much about it. Like I said, I didn't look too much into about the show itself and what it was going to be. I didn't know how long the shows were, and I didn't know like the runtime and all that. And one thing that I was really interested in was if these shows, if these episodes will have any correlation to the MCU movies, like the live action films. Like, are we seeing a sneak peek into something else? And that's why I really wanted to see any shows. So I really didn't know what to expect. But in this one, we basically got the first Captain America movie in an all but, you know, 33-minute episode with Peggy Carter, kind of sort of mostly following it about how it went, just in a different way. People attacked as Steve Rogers was about to take it. I think he had got out and he got shot. Yes, yeah, I got shot in the show. I'm sorry. I should have gave spoiler warnings for this if you haven't seen it, but whatever. I'm already halfway into it. He got shot. So Peggy Carter had to make a decision or they was going to lose the Super Serum. So she took it and then she became Captain America and saved the day. I wanted more wonky, you know? I wanted more of that. I thought when, you know, as previews for the What If, I thought it was going to be more of a drastic change to the story, not closely following it. But then I had to remember, at least with Captain America's story, literally anybody could be Captain America, as long as you have a good nature heart, you know? If you have high standards, good morals and all that, anybody could be Captain America. So how much does their story change with that? So I had to think about it like that. So that's why I'm not going really too judgmental of it. I feel like all the other Disney Plus, all the other episodes are going to be a little bit different. I'm expecting to see, especially the one with T'Challa, Black Panther, being a Ravager, being really Star-Lord from Guardians. I expect more wonky in that. But for this one, I guess it was a different take on it. And it was a nice take on it. I really liked it. I really liked seeing Peggy Carter being the Captain America. I think I really liked how she was using the shield and all that. She was awesome. And it was a good, solid start. It was a good, solid start. What it did make me do, and I think these are kind of the purpose of these shows, these episodes, it made me really do want to see a live action Peggy Carter Captain America movie, right? Maybe in the new Captain America with Sam. Maybe she appears in that, in the new multiverse type of timeline that is going on that right now. Maybe we get to see her in that, because I think that would be, first of all, I think it would be cool to see, obviously. That's a big time character in Marvel, and I feel like the cultural impact it will have will be amazing, kind of like how DC had Wonder Woman. And I feel like Captain Marvel was trying to hit on, but didn't really sell too much, you know. But having a important character like we know of Captain America with a woman now, I think that kind of cultural impact would be cool to see. And it don't have to be like even in a live action film like that, maybe even on her own Disney Plus, like live action show on series. And if it was, and it was to see how, I would love to see it back in, you know, that time, and maybe see what would be different. What would be Marvel's take about how the world would be different? Instead, we got Steve Rogers, who was Captain America, maybe a woman Captain America, and see how that affected women's rights and how that battle that they are fighting, still that they are fighting to this day. But see how it would have been in back in those times if they had a person like that. If you get what I'm saying? I think that would be really cool to see, really cool for Marvel to dive into, you know, since they want to go that type of route, especially, you know, with the, how they did Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the Black Captain America. So, just a little idea for them. My favorite moments from the show was the fight scenes with Agent Carter. Like, she, like I said, the way she was using that shield was so kick-ass. Like, obviously, it was a, you know, it's a cartoon, so they can do a little bit more, you know, stuff that you probably can't see the stunts do in a live-action film, but she was blowing through people, like, tearing cars up with just a shield. She was real violent. Like, it was, like, one scene where she just broke a guy, like, kneecap with just a punch. I was like, oh, my God. God. But they were amazing. I really liked it. And that's what made me want to see the live action, because, wow, would that be cool to see. The thing that I didn't like too much, my least favorite moment, I didn't like the ending scene with Peggy and Steve when, with Peggy, she doesn't, you know, get trapped in ice. She actually gets transmitted into, I guess, a different dimension with the Tesseract. If you know, if you remember the movie, the Tesseract was a thing. The Red Skull was able to get in, you know, won a war of dominance. And the episode, like I said, kind of followed in that, just like the movie, just, you know, with a different little twist and stuff. Steve Rogers actually came, like, I guess, the first prototype of Iron Man. So, yeah. So, he uses that. He tries to go save Peggy, but Peggy, she gets sent to this international dimension. And, you know, Steve Rogers is still back in his time. So, it was kind of, when it got to that scene, you know, when you saw the Captain America version, like the real, you know, live action version, that moment, it was so intense. It was deep. Like, we're going to have that last dance, man. Just thinking about it. Wow. That's an emotional scene. But in this one, it was kind of a letdown. It was just kind of like quick to the point that you couldn't really build emotion. And I understand it's hard to in a 33-minute episode. And you already kind of know the story too, but it just didn't hit the same. And it was kind of a letdown. Like I said, it was real quick to the point too. So that's my least favorite moment. But other than that, I think it was a solid start. I think it was a solid start to the series. I'm excited for more. I can't wait to see T'Challa. I can't wait to see something I'm really curious about seeing, because in this show, it's an animated show, they got a lot of the, you know, prominent live action voice actors to do this show. You know, not, they don't have like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and all that, but they got Chris Hemsworth in it. They got, I believe Idris Elba is casted in this. I don't know if Heimdall is going to be in this, but I think he is. But point is, like, Lady Sif, they got her voice actor. They had the actual Peggy Carter voice actor. They had pretty much, they even have to Chadwick Boseman in this. You know, he was able to just shoot a couple episodes before his tragic, untimely death. Rest in peace to that man. Miss him. But yes, they got a lot of the voice actors, which I think is really cool. But someone that they didn't have the voice actor for, and they didn't disclose who was the voice actor for this character was, is for Spider-Man. And we know his movie is coming out later this year, The No Way Home. And it's going to be basically our first look, real big look into the multiverse itself. With the, we've been hinting at it with Andrew Garfield supposed to be in it and Tobey Maguire. Also, Dr. Ock is coming back, so the three different versions of Spider-Man. So I'm real curious to see if when we get the Spider-Man in it, since it's not Tom Holland, because I feel like if it was Tom Holland, they would have just said it was Tom Holland, right? Is it going to be Andrew Garfield? Is it going to be Tobey Maguire that we hear? I'm real curious to see. I think Marvel is trying to disguise these episodes, when in fact they are going to hold some key to what we're going to see in the multiverse. I believe at least one or two of these shows is actually going to hold some weight, and we're going to see in the real MCU. I'm holding out hope on it. But yes, that's it for today. That's all I got for you. Make sure you check us out at Player Circle on Twitter, Instagram, of course, our YouTube channel, all the same thing. That's Players, PLAYERZ, Circle. Obviously, if you pulled it up on a podcast, you can see it on there. And I'm your host, Dre Emerson. I'm out.
Cause you've been acting different lately, girl. What's on your mind? Hey. I'm tired of arguing.